Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about men and church. It's a real problem, you know. We're not the first to observe that the proportion of men, Sunday by Sunday, is dropping, and still dropping, in churches everywhere. And if you listen to guests on this program, Dr. Leon Poddles wrote a book called The Church Impotent. He said it started 1,000 years ago. He calls it the feminization of the church, or the emasculization of the church, but it really has to do with men in church, not so much about women in church, but men in church and what the church has become that in some cases is driving men away. But is the answer a drum circle or cooking brats every Sunday out in the parking lot for men, letting them tailgate rather than come in and pray or things like that? Some people think it is, although I doubt it. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, January the 7th. Dr. Gary Zeroth is our guest. He's associate pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Kingsville, Maryland. He'll be leading a retreat titled Real Men Follow Jesus. It's February 1st and 2nd at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Zeroth, welcome.
Oh, hi, Todd. How are you?
Very well.
Great. Blessed New Year.
Oh, to you as well. Jesus is often depicted as kind of a sad figure. Maybe in old terms, we might call him a weakling or meek and mild, wouldn't hurt a fly, wouldn't raise his voice or argue with anyone. But the Jesus of Scripture, Dr. Zeroth, is he a real man?
Well, ever since we were young, we would observe pictures in Sunday school of perhaps, as you say, a meek and mild Jesus. He would always be surrounded by children and he'd be in a pastoral-type setting among the sheep. But in reality, Jesus is a real man because he demonstrates not only maleness, but a better term would be masculinity, in the fact that he sacrificed himself for others. And he did that by being separated from the Father and taking on the task of defeating evil. Taking up the battle, I guess, is the key word. When I do my retreat ministry, I talk a lot about the battle that we're engaged in as Christian men, and I always point back to the ultimate battle that Jesus took up and fought for his bride, the church, and gave up his life for her. And that would be a real man, one who would accept that responsibility of fighting for the one whom he loves. That could be either his wife, perhaps a girlfriend, his children, but that defines Jesus as a real man, one who separates, goes to battle, and comes back victorious to his bride.
Why do men stay away from church, and what are we looking at in terms of the proportions of the numbers that reflect men's exodus or attrition from church on Sunday mornings?
Yeah, there's a lot of statistics out there, and every congregation is different, of course. Basically, I think generally speaking in this country, any typical congregation has a 60% female population and a 40% male population. And that's been in this country for a long time, ever since the 1950s. You can say the last 50 or 60 years, it's been this way. And the question to the answer to your question is many and varied. Why do men stay away? Why is there an imbalance? that way in church. We can look at it, we can go back and look at it with boys and with teenagers. When do they start leaving the church? They are brought to church usually by their mothers. And then in our church, they are confirmed around eighth grade. And then we see a gradual dropping off after that in the teenage years. One answer to that question could be that we don't have a male initiation rite. We do have confirmation, but in other religions, like Judaism, they have the bar mitzvah and a definite passage, a rite of passage, where the boy is accepted in the community of men. And we don't really have that in the Christian church, per se, and other religions do have those kinds of things. Another answer to that question would be that probably over the last 1,000 years, there has been a gradual feminization of the church, meaning to say that when men come to church, they don't feel that they belong. That is, being dominated by females, they feel that they don't belong, much like a man going to a department store and walks around the women's section. He feels out of place. That's probably because of the general feminization of Christianity. I'm not talking of any particular church or denomination, but men do feel out of place within the church. It's not a per se masculine place as other places would be. Those are two reasons I can think of.
And of the men who do, fewer and fewer men who do attend church, why do they? What do the numbers tell us there?
Well, there are obviously some sincere men who go and worship their Lord and Savior. We can't obviously discount that. They have come to faith and they come to worship, and they exercise their faith in that context. I could say that maybe in some cases they are brought. They are brought out of compulsion or perhaps guilt by a female, a wife, a mother perhaps, a girlfriend. And they're not going for the right reason, but they're going out of compulsion to keep things at peace perhaps. But I don't want to discount the many, many men who do go to worship and are active and involved in their churches as well.
Some might suggest that men are simply not as spiritual as women are. How would you respond to that?
Well, sometimes being spiritual, there's an emotional part to spirituality which men tend to shy away from. Women are more emotional and express their feelings and their faith in emotional ways. If men come close to that kind of an experience, they tend to shy away or even stay away because we would express our faith not so much emotionally, but perhaps more intellectually. That is a big difference between the two.
But would that equate to men being non-religious by nature?
No, it wouldn't. Somehow it seems that the religious nature of men needs to be brought out. It's easier with women. You can go back to the history of the church and see that with Bernard of Clairvaux the history of the church would indicate that it needs to be brought out of men. And what I see nowadays is that pastors, church leaders aren't speaking to the needs of men as they ought, and we tend to speak more to the needs of women and children because we look out on our congregation on an average Sunday morning and we do see more of them than men. So we tend to perhaps subconsciously create our sermons directed toward them. But men need to be spoken to, and what I mean by that is they have a deep need to be understood. And what I mean by that is that there is a struggle going on with men that do not go on with women. And I don't think churches are catching on to this. We struggle with evil, and we struggle within our own hearts. And there's many instances in the scriptures where men struggled with God. And I think we need to, as pastors, myself being a pastor, I enjoy being with men and being around men, and we all have a struggle that we're afraid to reveal. But once we can get that out somehow, men find a secure and safe place where they can begin to listen and respond to God's word. I think we just need to find that need that men have and bring it out and talk about it and preach to it. And that is the great struggle that men have.
We're talking with Dr. Gary Zeroth about men and church. He's associate pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Kingsville, Maryland. It's Wednesday, January the 7th. I want to hear from you on men and the church. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Dr. Zeroth will be leading a retreat titled Real Men Follow Jesus, February 1st and 2nd at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org. I want to hear from both men and women as we talk about men and church. How is it that Islam has so many men adherents or orthodoxy? We'll talk about that after this.
You can't grip a tackle box. Yeah, with all these men lining up to get neutered, it's heading out to be feminized. But I don't highlight my hair. I've still got a pair. Yeah, honey, I'm still a guy.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
The toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Gina Leinberger, Bethany Kinney, Andrea Elliott, Renee Whitehead, Jim Erskine, Jim Kruda, Anthony Stilts, Lisa Henders, Jerry Radke, and Darcy Huckleberry. Thanks for your support.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking men and church with Dr. Gary Zeroth. 1-877-623-6943. 10 more minutes in this hour. Talk back at issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, Scott Klusendorf will join us. We'll kick off a five-part weekly series with him on five bad ways to argue about abortion. This email comes from Don in Kansas. It says, one of the big problems today is the feminization of the church. Men are not comfortable in a church that has done away with the divine order of creation. One large church had 370 men and 1,064 women in church on Easter Sunday. This is true in large and small churches. The number of men in church seems to be declining each year. In public school, about 80% of the teachers are female. Boys are supposed to act like girls, and if they don't, they're put on drugs. So many young men today seem to be ashamed that they're male. There seemed to be very little comradeship among men. So many young men seem to isolate themselves from others and live on the internet or use drugs. We do not see friendships between men like David and Jonathan had. There are very few clubs for men anymore, and I don't know of a church that has a men's club. We must return to the divine order of creation, or men will leave even more, says Don in Kansas. Your thoughts there, Dr. Zeroff?
Well, Todd, it's very true. I think from very young, it's difficult for a boy to grow up in this culture and have a male model, someone to follow, someone to observe and watch. And, of course, this is part of our sinful, fallen nature. Christ is our model. Sometimes we do need human models to follow, too, as imperfect as we are. We watch TV and we go to the movies and we observe fathers on TV and we watch these men at the movies, and they are not the greatest models. We need to go back to the scriptures, and we need to see the great saints and see how they followed Christ. We had 12 disciples, and after Pentecost, they became bold proclaimers of the gospel. They were willing to do anything for their Lord and Savior, even at the cost of their own death. And we need to talk more about these models in our church and emulate these great men of the scriptures. Even in the first several centuries of our church existence, we've lost even the concept of the martyrs and what martyrdom means anymore, of how we are to lead by sacrificing for the good of the whole, and sacrificing especially for the truth, what we know to be the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think we've lost that. We've lost this image of what a man could be and should be, imperfectly, of course. But we don't have that emulation even within the church anymore.
Mark in Maryland emails us with this. He writes, "I have limited experience with contemporary worship. In each case, I was exposed to it. I found it to be extremely frilly and vacuous. I was actually embarrassed to be present. If my church worshiped this way on a regular basis, I don't think I'd hang around very long." He asks, "Is there a connection between the phenomenon of contemporary worship and the flight of men from the church? Or, to frame it differently, is liturgical worship somehow more masculine than contemporary worship?" Your thoughts?
Well, an interesting question. There's a tendency of contemporary worship not to have meaty songs, not to have doctrinal songs. They can point us to Jesus Christ. That is most important. However, liturgical-type worship, especially what I'm referring to, is it centers on Christ, and it focuses our attention properly. And in the rhythm of worship and in the regular use of the words that we use week in and week out, men especially can become a part of worship as they repeat those words on a regular basis. The hymns, I guess we're talking about mostly hymns and song selections. When I do my retreat, I purposely sing manly hymns. And in our hymnal, the LSB hymnal, we sing a lot from the section of the church militant. And men sing those songs with gusto. They sing "A Mighty Fortress." And they sing, "Sing my tongue the glorious battle," and "Stand up for Jesus." And I don't think we get these kind of songs in contemporary worship, where it paints a picture for men that we are engaged in a very serious battle, and the scripture doctrines are presented in its full entirety, and there's a lot of meat to be eaten in the hymns of the church that have been carefully selected. I'm not saying that can't happen in contemporary worship, it's just the tendency that it happens more so in liturgical worship.
My experience with contemporary worship, after I kind of rid myself, exercised the demon in my teenage years, having returned to historic worship of the church, is, as an adult, is feeling that discomfort there, not so much because of the style of the music, because it's just pop music, really, or because of some of the other things, but because the way that I'm being asked to express feelings or thoughts for the Savior seem more appropriate for a woman speaking to a man than a man speaking to a man. I will say without any qualification, I dearly love Jesus. I love him with all my heart. But these songs don't express a man's love for Jesus. They express a lover's love or a girlfriend's love for Jesus to me.
Yeah, in most cases, Todd, you can say that. In most cases, there are, you call the pop tunes or the pop songs. Again, we get back into the emotional aspect of religion, which men tend to shy away from. And some contemporary songs, if not a lot of them, can turn men off that way because it does evoke emotions that men cannot express. And or they don't feel natural doing it, but somehow it's forced because others are. So you're right. It's an emotion that in some songs that cannot relate to men.
You mentioned that religions like Islam or Christian orthodoxy have a tendency to buck the trend of religions having flight of men. What is it about these religions, not giving any credence to the falsehoods of Islam, but what is it about these religions where many of, if not most of the adherents, are men?
Yeah, it's a phenomenon that we need to look at as Christians. Why is this? In Islam, the men and the boys, they do hang out together. They are together a lot, and the boys observe the religious worship of their fathers. And they know it's not embarrassing to them, and their fathers, as they pray five times a day and perform their duties, their religious duties, the boys grow up and observe this. This is what a man does. And also in Islam, there is an aspect of a battle, of war, within ingrained in that religion, a fight, a battle. And this becomes appealing to boys and to men as they grow up, that there's something to fight for. There's some truth, there's some fact, there's something that I've come to know that I need to fight for.
Well, then, with only about 30 seconds here and no more, yeah, give us just one or two practical tips on how men may become more involved in the life of the church. One or two.
Well, I would call upon all pastors to lead in this aspect in their church, in their congregation, that they would form a men's group or form a small group of men whom they choose as leaders and talk about this ministry that they can start and actually be the leader. Christian congregations need the pastor to lead in this respect, and so I pray and call upon all pastors to do that. And in so forming this group, you also formed a band of brothers, a group of men who can share their joys and hurts and sorrows and worship together and study the scriptures together. That would be the first two things I would recommend highly. But it, to me, my experience, it does start with the pastor as he leads in that respect.
Dr. Gary Zeroth is associate pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Kingsville, Maryland. He will be leading a retreat titled Real Men Follow Jesus, February 1st and 2nd at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You will find more information on this retreat under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand Dr. Zeroff, thanks for being our guest.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. Thanks very much.
When we come back, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead. Scott Klusendorf, a regular guest, is going to join us. He's been kind enough to agree to a five-part weekly series, Five Bad Ways to Argue About Abortion. We'll kick off that series with him right on the other side of this break in hour two. He's president of Life Training Institute. Then at 4:30, we'll be talking with Paul Miller, principal of Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, about educating children in the inner city. You know what it is really about? It's about the pastor presenting Jesus as Jesus is, not as the church, the feminized church, has made him. Jesus as he is, the man who stands in for all men and women, the man who, in an ultimate and divine expression of his manliness, sacrifices himself for us at the cross. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back with Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.